Okay, thank you, Brother Cody. Okay, good morning. Okay, I welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or I greet you this morning. And, I start with Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in that, in it." And are we rejoicing this day? I hope so. You know, every day we wake, every day, morning, noon, and night, we should be rejoicing in the glory of the Lord. Our brother Dan, he had asked me the end of December, he said, "What Sunday morning would be a good morning in January for you to preach?" And, you know, as my procrastination happens, I looked at my calendar and I picked the last day of the month. You know, so I picked today, and then this morning I came in and I thought, you know what? I picked the best day of the month, Donut Day. You know, here it is. The congregation's going to be out there. They have their donuts. They had their coffee. They are ready for the Word of God, ready to hear what God has for us this day. And so I'm blessed to be up here to this day. I'm going to start. And I'm just going to say one word. I just want you to remember this word. Later in the sermon, when I ask, just remind me what word it is, and I'll explain. And that word, and I told our brother Buzz, he just preached at for New York. So he's home today, but he said he'd be live streaming. But I know that I said it's a word that probably has never been spoken behind the pulpit, but that word is sauerkraut. So just sauerkraut, don't dote too much on it. But later in the sermon, when I ask, remind me what that word is, and I'll give an explanation. So, I want to start this morning with Matthew 22. So it's 22nd chapter of Matthew, and I'm going to start with 37. And it says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You know, what wonderful things. Do we abide by those first two commandments? A great passage. Of course, today, you probably know I'm going to focus on love. I'm going to focus on love that we must have for God, and we must have for all people. All people, remember that. You know, I'm going to turn now to Romans 12. So Romans 12. And I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, it says, be not conformed to this world. You know, our world, and I know for years and years, you know, we think it's getting worse, and it probably is getting worse, but always there have been things in the world that are not Christ-like. You know, there's sins in the world. We cannot be conformed to the sins in the world, but we must be transformed. We must have that love of God for all. We must have no right from wrong, and we must be an example of what is right. Verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let them prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on other ministering, and he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You know, be simple. Come in that love. Come in that that God-like way. Come in that simpleness that we might show others of his love. And goes on to say, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Are we cheerful? Are we happy? Do we have a smile on our face in our walk of life? And then here it starts in my favorite. Here it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. You know, do we prefer one another? Do we show that love? You know, do we think of ourselves always, or do we think of others? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, that last verse, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So I have a question. You know, do we make an effort to live peaceably with all men? You know, we all have, you know, different views. We all have likes, different dislikes. But do we try to look past our own self image and our own selflessness and look at others? You know, we don't have to agree with them, but we must live in that love, and we must live peaceably with all. You know, if we ask God to be by our side every day, he will make it easy to walk in love and compassion in dealing with others in our lives. You know, and that is the key. God is our key. You know, if we pray to him for that guidance, he will be with us in our walk of life. Let's turn to Mosiah 1, and this is on page 218. So page 218, Mosiah 1, and I'm going to start. I'm going to start with 119. And it says, for the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, putteth off the natural man, becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when the time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except to be as little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. And even at that same time, when you shall be taught, when you shalt have taught the people the things which the Lord thy God have commanded thee, even then are ye found no more blameless in the sight of God. only according to the words which I have spoken unto you. And now I have spoken the words which the Lord God commanded me. You know, the words, the gospel. We're going to turn now to 1 Nephi 28, page 28. I guess I'll be clearer there. Page 28, first book of Nephi, chapter 3. Kind of mixed that one up. So I'm going to start with 64, and it says, "And I answered him, saying, Yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore it is the most desirable above all. And he spake unto me, saying, Yea, and the most joyous to the soul. And after that he had said these words, he said unto me, Look, and I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, which led to the foundation of the living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God." You know, do we possess that? Do we have the love of God in our hearts? We must have it in our hearts, deep down in our hearts, ready to spread that love to all. I'm going to turn now to Mosiah 2, just on page 219. And I'm going to start with one. I'm going to read 1 through 5, and it says, "And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking of the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth. For the fear of the Lord had come upon them, and they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they had all cried aloud with one voice, saying, Oh, have mercy and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and an earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy." You know, if we have the Lord, there's joy in our journey. Our brother Jeff says that, and I love that passage. There's joy in the journey, in our journey with the Lord. I'm going to go on to, going to continue, just flip a page. And I'm going to go to verse 13, Mosiah 2, page 220. It says, "Believe in God, believe that he is, and he created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them. Humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angels. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. Ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him who created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, to render to every man according to that which is due. And he will not suffer your children that you go hungry or naked, that they go hungry or naked. Neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God. Fight and quarrel one with another. Serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit, which hath been spoken of by the fathers. He being an enemy to all righteousness. So we must be that example. Be that example to your children, to those around you, of his goodness. You know, that we don't want fighting and quarreling. It says, but you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also ye yourselves will not succor those that stand in need of your succor. You will administer of the substance unto him that standeth in need. And you will not suffer that the baker put up his petition to you in vain, and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man hath brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my hand, and I will not give unto him of my food, nor impart of him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. So, you know, in verse 30 it said, perhaps thou shalt say, the man has brought upon himself his misery. You know, we need to look, we need to have a giving heart. We need to look at others through the example that God has given us. You know, I have a few scenarios here. You know, when there's a lot of homeless out right now. There's a lot of homeless in the world, every corner. And it's hard. It's hard to know. You want to give. You don't know who is out there for gain, who is in need. But in our hearts, if we give from our heart, it doesn't matter what they do with it. I mean, we want them to do what is good. We want, but it is from our heart that we give. So I have a few scenarios here. And first one, most of them deal with Quick Trip. You know, I guess I go in there and fill my Diet Coke or fill gas. But the first one, I was out showing houses, actually, to Jeff and Michelle in Lee Summit. And I needed some gas. And I stopped at Quick Trip, and I'm at the pump, and I see a man coming towards me. And he was about my age, came over and said, you know, I came up here to get gas. I live a few miles away. My wife is in the car. I forgot my cards. Could you give me $5? And so I reached in. I gave him $5. I saw him walk away. And in my humanness, he's walking towards the building, and I'm thinking, okay, am I going to see him go to the next person and the next person? You know, what is it going to be? So in my humanness, I'm thinking, you know, I gave, but I still had that thought. You know, what is he going to do with it? So after I pump my gas, I go inside, and as I'm going inside, he's coming out. I look, he goes to the gas pump, his wife's in the car, he's filling gas. You know, so here I was in a preconceived, I gave, but was my heart in the right place? Did I give with that thought, is he giving me a line? And we're still going to think that, we don't know. But we must have a giving heart. And of course, on that scenario, I was thrilled. You know, I gave to this person that needed it. You know, so then I'm at the Quick Trip by my house. I stop to get gas, standing at the pump. A man comes over, he's walking towards me, and he says, I believe he was a homeless man, and he came over and he said, could you give me some money for some food? And I said, let me finish up here. I'll take you inside. I'll get you some food. So we go inside. He fills up a drink, a soft drink. And then he says, can I get a couple items off the roller grill? And I'm like, sure. So here I go. I pay for it. He goes out right away, sits at the table, and starts eating. Well, here's another one. I gave to this man. It was a good thing. You know, it came out like I wanted it to come out, that I helped somebody and they really needed it. So then, probably been a couple years ago, our brother Rusty, he texted Randy and me, and he said, I'm out of town, but I know there's a homeless man at McCoy Park. He's down on his luck. He had a rough situation, and he's living in his car. And in my mind, I'm like, ooh, Randy's on this text. Randy is a go-getter. He's going to go over there. And Randy sends back this text and says, I'm on my way to South Missouri, so I'm out of town. So I knew it was my obligation to go. And, you know, it's hard sometimes. You look at me, you think, David's a talker. Wouldn't be a problem. But, you know, we have self-consciousness. I'm like on my way there. I get a bottle of water. I go through McDonald's. I get a hamburger and fries or cheeseburger and fries. And I'm going. And in my mind, I'm like going, how will I know who this person is? You know, park full of people. And I get out of my car. I park in a spot. I look and I see this man by his truck. And the truck's full of stuff, and I go over to him, and I said, I hear you're down on your luck. And I said, I brought you hamburger and french fries, and he started to cry. And, he didn't say much. He said, thank you. I said, we're praying for you. And he went over, took the food, sat down at a table, and he ate. You know, and I hear that Randy had at the same time called the caregiver for Brother Sheldon as a giving person. And she then went on another day and helped this man. And I went back a few days later and I didn't see him. So hopefully everything. But I said, I'll pray for you. He cried, there's another one. You know, it turned out great. So then I have another story here. So Becky and me, it's probably been 10 years ago. It sounds like I'm helping people all the time, but it's just like everybody. We have our moments. You know, this is over years, you know, over time. Have you ever been where I'm pretty good, I'm pretty alert, and I'm not going to be this way. I'm going to be alert, but usually when I'm going in or whatever and I see somebody coming over, don't make eye contact, you know. Don't make eye contact, go on in. And in the future, I want to make eye contact. I want to give. But Becky and me, we came to evening church on Sunday. We stopped at Hy-Vee because we needed, this has probably been 10 years ago, needed some food. And we get out of our car and there's a lady and a 10-year-old child and she wants money. And so we said, you know, we'll take you in the store. We'll buy you things. So Becky took the young girl, and I took the lady, and we let them pick. And as Becky being the teacher, Becky being the, she did it on purpose. She thought, I'll take this young girl, I'll kind of visit with her, find out what elementary school she goes to, so that she could go to the school and say, you know, they need help. They need help, you know. And so she had taken her, let the little girl pick out special things, you know, cookies and whatever, you know. And I take the lady and we help them. We ended up giving them a ride home, you know, and they lived up here by the church. It was a ways. And so then Becky goes to the school the next day. And she goes over to the elementary school and she says, there's this family. They live at this certain spot, and I think they need help. And the lady there says, oh, we know them. They're panhandlers. They're just out there. They're on drugs. They're, you know, different things. So at the time, you know, in our own natural state, we're like, we were taken. But I have a different view now. When you give, you give. Give from your heart, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It does matter, but it doesn't matter. God, what would God do? He's going to give to all of us. He's going to give to all of us. And so now I'm going to, I'm in the same scripture, Mosiah, but I'm going to just drop down to 44, which is on page 223, and it says, "And see that ye do that all these things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that the man should run faster than what he has strength." So pray to God. You know, pray to God for that discernment. What we should do. What we should do in life. Now I'm going to go back to, flip the page back, 221. I'm going to read 30 again. It says, "Perhaps thou shalt say, the man hath brought himself his misery." You know, most of the time when we're in a state, you know, sometimes it's beyond our control, but a lot of times it's in our control. And, but we can't say that. We can't say that they brought it on themselves, so don't help them. And it says, "I will stay my hand. I will not give unto them the food, nor impart unto them of him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same shall have cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend on the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have? For both food and raiment, for gold and silver, and for all the riches that we have of every kind. And behold, even at this time have you been calling on his name and begging for a remission of your sins? And hath he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Nay, he hath poured out his spirit upon you, and hath caused that your heart should be filled with joy, and hath caused that your mouth should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance. So exceeding great was your joy." You know, the Lord blesses us every day. The Lord, you know, do we deserve the lives we have? Do we deserve the goodness? But he blesses us. He blesses us. I'm going to turn, or I want to read 1 John 3, and it's just 17 and 18. And it says, "But whoso hath the world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You know, we must show that love, show that love. You know, I want to turn, as I always do, you're going to get a song. I'm not going to sing, I'm just going to read it. But page 378. And page 378 in the hymn, you can either follow along or just listen. And it's "Loving Each Other." And it says, "This is the motto we all would obey. We will all love one another. Happy we sing and are glad all the day when we can serve one another. Thus will we labor and thus will we play, trying to help one another, driving the sorrows of others away, bringing sweet peace to the other. Let us, like Jesus, be thoughtful and kind." You know, we have that example. "Striving to please one another, here as in heaven, we will be of one mind, everyone loving the other." And the chorus is, "Loving each other, how pleasant to cherish a brother. Serving each other, the Savior looks on us with joy." Joy in the journey. Giving love, giving, showing the love of God in everything we do. You know, I'm going to now turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, and I'll start with the first verse. And it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore yourselves, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, idolatry, it's anything that you love more than God. Can be simple things, can be anything. Put God first. And I'm going to drop down. It says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds. And then I'm going to drop down to 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. You know, are we thankful people? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, do it all in our God's in the Lord's name. In the Lord's name. You know, it's important that we seek our God. We ask him for guidance in our lives. You know, Jesus spoke in Matthew 16. We all know this verse. It says, let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamors and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one toward another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor. So yesterday, beautiful memorial service for our sister Diane. And I want to tell you, you know, Bick and Diane, being at the East Local, and I was the pastor for the last 4 years or whatever it was, Bick and Diane were always there for me. Always there with that smile, with that, you know, Bick is so, they're both were sweet, sweet people. Bick is a quiet person, but Bick told me anytime I needed something, he would do it. You know, he had comes in that humbleness to the Lord. He wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to help me out in love. And, but he did that in that quiet, sweet, humble way that I would love to be. You know, and so we love them both. And yesterday, Braden sang a beautiful song. And I'm going to read these words. You know, he sang this song, and the title was 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord. So I looked up the meaning of the song, you know, and it said 10,000 reasons for my heart to praise God. The song enumerates various attributes of the love of God for mankind that makes him worthy of praise, unending worship for 10,000 years and then forever. And this was based on Psalm 100, the 103rd Psalm, which says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And so I'm going to read the lyrics here. It's, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship his holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again." You know, do we sing into the Lord? "Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul sings your praises unending. 10,000 years and forevermore." And the chorus again. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship his holy name." We must worship every day. We must have that singing in our hearts. If we're not singers, you're going to sing in your hearts to the Lord. You know, do we sing praises to God? Do we give him the glory? Do we give him the glory in our lives? You know, these words charge us to live our lives showing the love of God, praising his holy name so that all can see the love of God through us, our actions. You know, Moroni 7:11 says, "But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to good, do good continually. Wherefore, everything which it inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God." Moroni 7:52 and 53 says, "Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ and endureth forever. And whoso is possessed of it in the last days, it shall be well with them." You know, if we have that love, love of God, love of all. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. That ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen." Now I'm going to ask Blakely and Avery if they can come up here and help me with just a little demonstration. Addison was going to help Avery today, and she was sick during the night, and it was kind of funny because, I mean, it wasn't funny she was sick. It was funny that yesterday when I had asked them to help me, so we'll have Blakely here first, and I don't know if, okay, there was a big campaign, started in 1993, one of the biggest campaigns, and it was from the dairy industry, wanted to promote milk. And you saw, there was like 350 celebrities, there were sports figures, Michael Jordan, Venus and Serena Williams, celebrities, TV celebrities, presidents, and you would see them and they'd have this shirt that says, "Got milk." And they had this milk mustache that showed they'd been drinking milk, you know, and it was this big promotion, and it's still going today. It was funny, this came to my mind. I have a really crazy mind, as you can tell, and things just pop up, and this popped up to me, and then when I pulled it up, it said, this has been going on for over 25 years, and it was the biggest promotion, and You know, so when I read it, I'm thinking, okay, God put this on my heart to say this big promotion. So I have a bigger promotion today. And look at Avery here. I was letting her milk mustache fell off. I was just letting her do it for fun. But what does her say? God love. Something even more important. More important. And then on her back, she has something on her back, and it says, for God and all. Now, did you notice it says all? Doesn't say some. For, you know, all the congregation here that we love, let's have love for the people only here. Does it say for the ones that have the same view as us, you know, that think like us, do the same things as us? No, it says all. We must have a love for all. And so, thank you, girls. Thanks for your help. And Addison was supposed to, it was funny, I asked him yesterday, and I said, which shirt do you want to wear? And Avery's like, I want the love shirt. So Addison was going to get the Got Milk shirt. And then Avery says to me, well, you know Addison is lactose intolerant. So then this morning, Amy texts me and she says, oh, I have bad news. Addison was sick in the night, so I'm staying home with her, but Avery will still do it. And I thought, oh no, hopefully the thought that she was going to wear Got Milk did not make her sick. So, if we truly have the love of God in our hearts, focus on Him, we'll be able to show the love to all people, all people. You know, so I do these funny things that maybe you'll get out of here and say, okay, what was those crazy t-shirts? Got love. Have that love. It says we must work at possessing love and compassion in our day-to-day lives. I'm going to turn to 1 John 4. First John 4, I'm going to read 7 through 11. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. You know, does anybody, this is the time when I'm going to ask you, what word did I ask you to remind me of? Sauerkraut. You know, when I said that word, you have two people. You have two kinds of people. You have that, when I said sauerkraut, Buzz, if he's online, he loves sauerkraut. The Nass sisters love sauerkraut. Grandma Nass loves sauerkraut. And so your mouth was watering when you heard that word sauerkraut. Or you could be those other people that you hear sauerkraut, you think, if I walk in a house, the house stinks. This is sour. I don't want to eat this. You know, so you have two different sides. So I have a sauerkraut story. Becky was like, please don't mention me in your sermon, but I said, there's one spot. And so here's the spot. And so so here I am. Next month, we'll be married 38 years. We dated a couple years before that. She lived with her grandma the last year because her parents had moved out of town. Her grandma loved sauerkraut. I'd eat there several times. And so here I am, and I've eaten sauerkraut. I knew Becky loved sauerkraut. So here I am, and many, many years. And about 10 years ago, I was pushing 50, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be selfish. I didn't say I'm going to be selfish, but that's my thought here, is that I'm not going to eat things that I don't like. And so I decide to tell my wife that I don't like sauerkraut. And she's like, why didn't you not tell me before? You know, it'd been 28 years of marriage. I figured it wasn't like we ate it every night. We, let's say, an average once every 2 months, 6 times a year. I had eaten sauerkraut in our married life 168 times. 168 times. And I decide to tell her I didn't like sauerkraut. And she really was mad. She's like, I wouldn't have made it. And I said, that is the reason. That is the reason. And that's why I say selfishness. Through those years, I didn't tell her I didn't like it, because I knew, because of her love for me, she wouldn't make it for herself. So do we do things for others for love? Do we do things for others that we want to show our love? And, you know, I'm glad I still will. We'll order a Reuben. I'll share it with her. You know, I can still eat it. But, you know, do we do things for others that is not ourself? That's not a selfish thing. And why I say I was selfish, I was turning 50, and I thought, I'm not going to eat carrots. Carrots was the other thing. She didn't care on that, because she kind of knew I didn't like carrots. But, you know, do we do things for others for the love, and showing the love of God? You know, sauerkraut, a silly one, but it's something that I ask you, do things for others. Do things for others out of the love of God. I'm going to skip. I never like to go over, so we're going to hurry on down here. You know, we need to think of others more than ourselves. God has commanded us to love all. You know, I know the best way to be able to show the love is through, if we will pray to God. Ask Him to give us the guidance in our life. And I always like to read, I'm going to skip this one, but if you want to later, you can read on page 429, Alma 16, and it's 218 through 222, and it's on prayer. You pray to God, you pour out your soul. And morning, midday, night, pray unto God. If you pray unto God and have Him first in your thoughts, He's going to help you show that love. And after you've prayed and prayed and prayed, it says, have your heart be drawn out in prayer. Have your heart with God. And so, you know, you probably noticed my colors today. You know, the last 3 weeks, I might be a Chiefs fan. Maybe not. I might have been known. You know, Cody, at the first of the sermon, he didn't know about my sermon. Well, he knows I do some crazy things. But he said, and I checked him for the Patrick Mahomes jersey. You know, I have Chiefs colors on today. I've been being a little more subdued. Didn't go with the yellow the other weeks. I had white or black. But here I had this on. I'm not taking my shirt off, but you need to work with Cody, because he needs to be a little more. You know, I do have my Patrick Mahomes jersey on today. You know, it was just funny when he said that. I'm like, oh, Cody. So if anybody, I know there's a lot of Chiefs fans out there. Last Sunday night, we came to church. We get out of church and we go home. It's halftime. The Chiefs were in a playoff game. You know, we get home. It's 14-14. This team, the Bills, we had played earlier in the season. First of the season, we weren't doing very good then, and they just crushed us. So we knew it was going to be a tough game. A tough game. It was 14-14. And so we sit there and watch the rest of the game. And this game got crazy. I was like, we hadn't ate before church, so we were eating something right then. And Becky's like, do you want, we had some pizza, I think. And she said, do you want another pizza? And my stomach was in knots. You know, did it really matter if the outcome of the game? In the end, no. You want them to win. You know, so I said, I can't eat right now. I'll eat later. You know, so I'm watching this game. So this game, it was really close, neck and neck. Then there's 1 minute, 54 seconds left. The game got really intense. You know, there's quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is the best. Theirs is good, but Patrick Mahomes is the best. At 1:54, the Buffalo Bills score. The score is 29-26. You know, in our mind, it's like, oh, wow. Are we going to lose this game? Then in a minute and 2 seconds, Kansas City Chiefs score. You know, the score is Buffalo 29, Chiefs 33. So, wow, we are going to win this game. There's only a minute and 2 seconds left. So then there's 13 seconds left. Buffalo scores. Buffalo 36, Kansas City Chiefs 33. I think we may lose. You know, we had to have a kickoff. We had to run it back down the field. At the least, get a field goal to tie it or a touchdown to win. But you have 13 seconds. But who do we have? We have Patrick Mahomes. You know, and so what happens? And for a Chiefs fan, it was the best ever. You know, what happens? 13 seconds, in 10 seconds, he gets that ball down to the 30-yard line, 35-yard line. And we have the chance to tie the game. You know, our kicker is one of the best kickers. But he had, this was a 49-yard field goal. He had missed earlier in the game, a 50-yard, one more yard, had missed it, you know. But we have a chance. He kicks that ball, he makes it. Tie game, the time expires. You know, it's exciting. Then they do the coin toss. Coin toss, the visiting team gets to pick. They pick and they say tails, and it's heads. Kansas City gets the ball. Patrick Mahomes gets the ball. We go down the field, and Travis Kelce scores a touchdown, you know, of all things. Here we are, the most dynamic ending, most dynamic ending, you know. And, you know, in our lives, you know, they have, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. You know, it was an exciting game. They're in the AFC Championship today. But I want to relate this Chiefs game to our lives. You know, our lives are full, just like this minute and 54 seconds. Our lives are filled with ups and downs. Sometimes we have good days. Sometimes we have struggles. But we have something better than Patrick Mahomes. And we all know it. We all know it. We have our God. We have our God to pull us through, to be with us at all times. You know, it's, you know, Patrick has our God. You know, everybody, our God blesses us. And think of the blessings in our lives. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. You know, let him direct your path. Seek him. Seek God for the answers. I have a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. It says, where there is love. It says, where there is love, the heart is light. Where there is love, the day is bright. Where there is love, there is a song to help when things are going wrong. Where there is love, there is a smile to make all things seem more worthwhile. Where there is love, there's quiet peace, a tranquil place where turmoil cease. Love changes darkness into light and makes the heart take wingless flight. Oh, blessed are they who walk in love. They also walk with God above. And when man walks with God again, there shall be peace on earth for men. You know, I never usually go over, and my granddaughter just reminded me that. You know, Matthew 22, where we started, 22:37-40 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. And always remember as our demonstration, God love for God and for all. So thank you very much. Let's praise the Lord. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed week. And I thank you this day.